We are holding in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Lamed, finishing up Ehud and Eglon, finishing up the story of Ehud and Eglon. Pasuk Lamed says, "Vatichona Moav bayomahu tachas Yad Yisrael, vatishko ta'aretz shmonim shana." Vatichona. What's Vatichona?
Give up. Surrender.
Surrender.
To be submitted
to. Achna. Lashon Achna. So Moab was machnia themselves. By Yomahu on that day, under the hand of Yisrael, and the earth, the land was quiet for 80 years. Okay. Questions on Pasuk.
So they really didn't defeat them. It looks like they just overcame them. But I mean, they still let them be.
They didn't chase them out.
They didn't chase them out. No,
still a defeat. They didn't exterminate them, but
they didn't kill all of them. That's what you're saying. You're saying they didn't defeat them.
Well, the Giborim they got rid of.
They certainly defeated them, but
they didn't kill.
They're not one of the seven nations.
We killed them all. We killed 10,000.
They're not one of the seven nations, right?
But we didn't kill them all. What?
They're not one of the seven nations,
right.
Are they?
No, they're
not. One of the seven
nations. So we don't have to chase them out.
Correct. Well, not so.
Yes and no.
Not so. We had discussion about that, whether we're allowed to leave others living in Eretz Yisrael or not. That's questionable. Yeah.
Is Bayom Ahu Miutah? I mean,
what's Bayom Ahu? Yeah, excellent question. But Tichana Mo Bayom Ahu. Why is that in there? And what does it mean? Bayom Ahu, which day? Was it one day? What does it mean, Bayom Ahu? Also, if you contrast it to the last Pasuk, it said in Pasuk Chavtes, Vayaku as Mo Ba'esahi. Last Pasuk we said Ba'esahi, and now we're saying Bayom Ahu.
Very timely.
Yeah, so what's the Bayomahu, and what's the difference between Ba'esahi and Bayomahu? Is there a difference? Yeah.
It could be the victory of the Klal Yisrael against the Moabim was so great on that day that it took them the Moabim 80 years to recover. So it was very significant and resounding.
So significant day. Yeah. It was a big day. Bayomahu that day was in the minds of Klal Yisrael, so that day we defeated Moab. Okay.
Yom Ha'atzmaut.
What?
Yom Ha'atzmaut.
It's like Yom Ha'atzmaut.
Those 80 years were all under...
Hasn't been 80 years yet, right?
Said, no, later, but Yom Ha'u Yeshem.
What?
And Yom Ha'u Yeshem Echad is Me'echad. Mechara doesn't mean a specific day.
It means an era.
So that could be the 8th day.
Means an era? What do you mean? By Yom Ha'u...
No, I think it means
the only one day. You're saying is that only one day making the point? Is that when that pasuk says by Yom Ha'u?
Doesn't mean it's a one day.
I always thought it was the day Mashiach comes.
It's right.
Not a one day sale.
You're saying it doesn't just mean that day. It means that the whole era of Mashiach. Could be. I don't know if that we have to know if that's the Pshat and pasuk. Could be. I hear what you're saying.
No, the day that surrendered. Hmm? This is the hit mob.
Yeah.
From that time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there was more than one day.
Resounding victory. And on the next possible, on that day, they surrendered.
Yeah, the day they gave up.
And the day, you're saying it wasn't one day, but it was on the day that they actually surrendered.
From the day they gave up.
Let's get the questions. Okay, so Vatichona, Mo'vayom, we got to figure out exactly what that means. Any other
80 years were under Eod.
So it's a question, and we had this question before already, also by Asniel. When it said Vatishkot Esaharetz Arboyim Yom, Vatishkot Esaharetz is supposed to get out. Very good. Vatishkot Esaharetz Arboyim Shana Vayama Vayamas Asniel Ben Kenaz. And it's the same question over here. Does Shmonim Shana include the years that Eglon ruled or not? So according to the Seder HaOlam, it does. According to the Seder HaOlam, this entire period from Asniel's death until Ehud's death is 80 years, which includes the 18 years that Eglon was subjugating Klal Yisrael, and the question therefore is...
The posuk is incorrect.
Well, our
understanding is incorrect.
We're trying to understand.
Our understanding is
so how could you say about Tishko to Aret, Shmonim Shana, if amongst those Shmonim Shana was the 18 years of Eglon's rule? That's the question.
Tachak Yad Yisrael was not Tachak Yad Yisrael.
Vatich Namoy Bayom El Tachas Yad Yisrael, period. Right. But Tishko to Aret, Shmonim Shana. It's not, you don't have to read it that way, right?
It doesn't say.
Tishko to Aret, Shmonim
Shana. After the defeat of Eglon.
After the defeat of Eglon, 80 years afterwards. Right, so the Seder Olam doesn't run like that. That's not, when you work out the years, it's not. But that's what you would think. You would think, that's what you would think, like you're saying, right?
Ritikana, is that a formal surrender, or is that just they were afraid of us?
Okay.
And if it's a formal surrender, they had no king, so who has the authority to surrender?
He's always a successor.
I just understood it that we, in the beginning, they ruled over us. We had to pay them taxes. And now it's vice versa. Now we are in control of them. But Tichana, that they are subjugated to us.
How does that work? In one day, everybody's subjugated.
Well, that's the point. One day, right?
Is it
one day? What's
one
the
day we're paying taxes, the next day they're paying taxes.
So what's the
deal?
Right. So that's the.
Deal.
So what's the
deal?
Okay.
You wake up in the morning,
and
the other guy's soldiers are all around you.
Yeah.
That is
actually
the way
it
worked.
Yeah.
It doesn't mention that Ehud
died. It does not mention that Ehud died. That is correct. It does say in the first pasuk of Perek Daled, "Vayisivu b'nei Yisrael la'asot Rabba in Hashem ve'yuv meis." It's the first pasuk in Daled.
It doesn't put it with 8 years.
It doesn't put it together with 8 years, but that's how the Mefarshim Chazal understands. Seir Olam understands that after these 80 years, but we'll see. It's that's also not so simple, because we'll see the next pasuk is a big. The next pasuk is a very big pasuk. And not be able to do it in one day. Okay, fine.
Did
so
you ask, the question, which I understood, the terminology of Yad Yisrael.
That is a good question. That's also a question. What's the terminology Yad Yisrael? Do we find that in other places? That terminology of Yad Yisrael. What's
the Yad Hashem? Yad Hashem.
Do we see Yad Yisrael?
How else could you say it?
Well, there's many ways to say it.
You don't say it at all.
First of all, you don't have to say it.
Hachas Yisrael?
You just say it, but, yeah. Hachas Yisrael. What do you mean, the Yad Yisrael?
I don't think that's the way...
Hachas B'nei Yisrael. Hachas B'nei Yisrael.
Well, Targum says Yad Anash Yisrael, which is similar to, Anshei of B'nei Yisrael, but he still has the Yad.
But that's the normal way of
saying it. Yeah, the normal saying is Yad, because over here
is Yad. Yeah, well, do we find that
because
other
Tichana is the Yad.
Remember seeing that, Tachas Yad Yisrael in other places?
Tachas Yadam. Tachas
Yadam.
Tachas Yadam.
So say Tachas Yadam.
Yeah, well, Tachas Yadam.
So say Tachas
Yadam. Tachas Yadam is...
Layoma hu Tachas Yadam. But Tishko Rosh HaMashana. What Tachas Yad Yisrael.
Yad is a remez to Mashiach anyway.
Hashem delivered the enemy into their hand.
Okay.
14.
But not necessarily.
This lashon Yad Yisrael. This lashon of Yad Yisrael. So what's the lashon? Okay. So first, let's start with the Kilos Yaakov. Kilos Yaakov says, "Vatichanam abayom ahu da yidesha hargum mehem hatovim shebohem da haynu hashmeinim mi nishar bohem." So who left? Who was left? Just the weaker ones. Dalos ha'arat she'enem ru'uyim or dalos. Dalos ha'arat she'enem ru'uyim l'klum. Well, l'zeh nichna'u lifnei b'nei Yisrael. Va'amar v'tichna ki havi le'lomer v'yichna mor. Ela b'simen ha'nikeva ki ilu haya ki nikeva mi'bli koach. Okay, and then he says also the Asher Shekai Liklipasmo. Remember, Lichilas Yaakov is the Kabbalistic sefer, so he's always understanding Al Pi Kabbalah that when there's a physical power, there must be a spiritual power on top of that. So if Moab is controlling Klal Yisrael physically, that means in the spiritual realm as well. That means the klipa, what's called the klipa, the literally shell or husk, but it means that that tumah of Moav is overpowering Klal Yisrael. And now, Vashe Shekoy the klipas Moav shenafla tachas yad hakedusha. Ubahachi nicha lishna tachas yad Yisrael klomer tachas yad hakedusha. Right, so under the hand of Kedusha. So now they're falling into the hand of Kedusha. Before, Klal Yisrael was in the hands of Tumah, in the hands of Moav, and now they're in the hands of the Kedusha. Okay? The Mincha Ketake. So what's this by Yom Ahu? What's this by Yom Ahu? So the Mincha Ketake learns Bizman Muat. Bizman Muat Kizek Kavshu Uma Shleima. Right? Yitzhak saying, well, what? From one day we went from paying taxes to them paying us taxes? Pretty much. It happened very, very quickly. Very quickly. The same day that Ehud killed Eglon, he runs back. They ride away. And by the way, what Yitzhak was saying the other day, that he was medayik, that they first closed up the border and then they went to kill people. It seems, read you the Rabbah maybe soon, which seems to say, learning like the Yitzhak was learning, that they went right away, they closed up the borders, Mavros Yardin, and then they killed 10,000 people, and that was it. Those are, according to the Gizak, those are the Giborim. How long did it take? Could be it was one day. Could be, he says very quickly, he doesn't want to say necessarily one day, but it was very fast. Olufach and Yitzhak Yadam, El Afgam, Shayatachas Yad Yisrael, Nachniim, Malim Masli Yisrael. Okay. Fine. So that's what he says. He says, Mayomahu means very quickly. Zman Muat. So it doesn't say war. Literally a day, maybe, but it's Zman Muat.
6 day war.
Like a 6 day war? Yeah, like a 6 day war.
This was a very quick turning point. The killing of Eglon, yeah. And immediately attacking the pick of their
choice
and wiping them out.
Right, their best soldiers, their greatest soldiers they had stationed in there. So we learned they closed off the border, they killed them all. How long did it take? It happened very quickly. The big Beishesh, who had this Mahalach the whole time in Ehud, he was learning that Ehud thought this was Man Mashiach, that this is the end, that this is the case. So the way he was learning.
That's why it's Yad is a remiss to David and Noah.
David is
it's 14.
Gematria 14?
Yeah.
8 and 6?
Yeah, it's 14.
It's 14. Interesting.
So is Yad.
Okay, I hear that. That could be. So he says, let me just read it to you the way he says it. Amon Eir Chosha, Shabiyom Ahu, Yiye Hayom Ahu, Shel Hagul Ashlema, the person you said you saw, okay? Ela shelo hispika and hagaso lahavi ligaula ruchnis shelah. Lachenimsa brosh perikdal vesibune so lasso sara vene Hashem vayudme. So Ayah thought this was the Bayam Ahu. That's what Ayah thought. This is the Bayam Ahu. This is it. This is a tremendous nitzachon, a tremendous victory over the Tumah, over Eglon, representing the Tumah of Moab. And not only that, he teamed up with Ammon and Amalek, and they were defeated. And this is what Ehud thought. Unfortunately, it was not fulfilled.
We see
that in the Ruchnias, even if he had the physical victory, but he didn't have the Ruchnias victory, the Klal Yisrael had that seed of Chet in them, that as soon as he died, they went back to the city.
Where do we see that they teamed up with Ammon and Amalek?
Before we start.
Earlier.
Can I just make an observation? It seems like a theme. Every time we win a war, we expect Mashiach to come.
Yeah. Say that.
That's what it looks like, right?
I think that is
we also have a big meal.
No, not they're waiting, we're expecting it. It seems like they're like every time they win a war, they're like, Mashiach,
well,
where is he?
We're expecting, hoping. Yeah,
that sounds like,
I would agree. Yeah, I think
that's what we are. Not just hoping, just expecting. Meaning, we don't necessarily have any reason to expect Mashiach to come, to expect him to be, hope he'll come any second. We don't see anything changing right now that he'll come. But over here, we see like something changed, and this now it's time for him to come.
And everyone's always trying to figure out whenever there's a war how this is Milchemes Gog Magog. This is the one. You know, that's for sure. Okay, what else here? Fine. So let's see the Dibritova addresses a few of these things.
Just one point. Tafas Yad by the first time in the Torah is by Hagar. Says to her, go back, Tachas Yadeha Sarah. Then Yisro Tachas Yad, when he says you were saved from Tachas Yad Mitzrayim. And then Ayin Tachas Ayin Tachas Yad Tachas Yad.
Tachas Yad.
Everything till now. That's what
those are all the machine says. Okay,
I don't know what the pattern is. It's interesting to know.
Phil's going to write that safer. Okay. So he actually refers us, you didn't get up to there yet in your search, but the Dibri Tova refers us to Perek Dalid, Pasik Chav Gimel. And there it says, very similar Pasik, Vayachna Elohim, Vayomahu, Eis Yavin Melech Kinan, but there it says, Lifnei B'nei Yisrael. Different lashon, very different lashon, right? Here it's tachas yad yisrael, and there it's lifnei b'nei yisrael.
Well, because there Hashem is, it's more like Hashem is openly doing it because it says that, and here it's not. It doesn't say that. Doesn't
okay.
Open.
So why the lashon yad yisrael? Why the lashon yad? So he says the Dibri Tova, yitaken shehamoavim nichnu lo rak. Mibnei Ehud, O Rov Bnei Yisrael, Elohim Nichnu Afilu Mibnei Kol Sar Tzuva Yachid, Shehin Higes Yisrael, Boisahim, that it wasn't just Tachas Bnei Yisrael in general, but each and every soldier, they were Machnia themselves to, every single soldier. He doesn't say this, but I was thinking, tell me if you like my pshat, but I was thinking, based on how we were learning this whole Mahalach, that Moav is Gaiva. Moav is representing Gaiva. Klal Yisrael at the time is representing Anava with Ehud, who's a cripple, who's from Binyamin, who's from the lowest Shevet, right? Eglon is this big, huge person. We saw not only Eglon, but his army consisted of all these big, large people, these big Balei Gaiva. So there are these big Balei Gaiva, and what is the Torah coming to stress now? Vatichona Moav Bayom Utachas Yad Yisrael. Not every single day, they were machnia themselves, they lowered themselves. Here's the Mida Keneged Mida, that they went from being these big Balei Gaiva to every little soldier now has authority over them, and they're being machnia themselves.
It's interesting the way you say that, because Ehud also, you know, he was left-handed, and he killed Eglon, which has Ego in it, the Ego, which is Gaiva, in it. And here, Yad Yisrael, because of his left hand, even his left hand was able to defeat their...
Very good. Right, also maybe Yad, yeah, talking about, because we had a lot about Yad. Yad. Yad had a lot to
how is Egel Gaiva, though?
What?
How is Egel Gaiva?
It's
gold, golden camp.
Gold, and it's Gaiva. Okay, I hear it. Fine. So, right, Elohim nichnu afilu b'mnei kol sar tzevo yachid sheinig as Yisrael v'isahi shavlo v'chein kasa b'targum kan shavu avim nichnu v'nishperu tachas yad anche Yisrael v'ayim afilu tachas yad ish echot v'Yisrael. Every single, they were machnia themselves to every single Jew. V'hinei, lo amar v'tichna mo'av tachas Yisrael al tachas yad Yisrael shekein tamim hayetzorech l'achniam in koach hayat. They had to continue to be machnia them. Shaya also tzarzavu marulahem es koach yado umiyad nichnu. They did have to show their strength and show them who was boss, so to speak. They needed to constantly be put in their place. That's what he seems to be saying. That's why Yad Yisrael, they have to keep showing the Yad. Okay, he then addresses the next question of, in the last pasuk, he said, Vayaku asmo ba'esahi, lo kosu vayaku ba'yomahu.
Shekein heim lo hiku es kulam biyamachad. The war took more than one day. They didn't kill all of them in one day. Ela betekufa hahi hikum. It was in that time period. Avo ho'achna shel ha'moavim ha'isa kvar ba'osu yom shemeis eglon. So bayom ha'ho means the day Eglon died. That's the bayom ha'ho, the day Eglon died. And that's when batichna moav bayom ha'ho, once Eglon died, that's it. There was already achna. The war didn't finish, but it didn't matter because there was already the achna
then. How would they have known without Facebook that Eglon died?
Things spread quickly. A king dies.
They close the border.
Everyone goes to the mikveh. What do you mean?
Things spread very quickly.
Even though they closed the borders.
Smoke signals.
And the river.
They should know. Yeah. But things were able to spread.
Did you ever go?
I'll give you an alternative.
Okay.
Understand that? That he broke the klipa.
The klipa. Very good.
Have you ever been to Male Amos? You can look over the other side of the Jordan. You can wave, and they can see you over there.
Saying it's not such a far distance.
It's by sight of, you know, there's a way to communicate over mountaintops.
Also, right? Bnei Yisrael knew. He's saying the pshat. That's the pshat. That how you machnia them, if we're saying there's never a physical force without a spiritual force. So right. Once you kill Eglon, you're breaking that klipa, you're killing a spiritual force. So then the Mela, they're machnia themselves. So Bayom Ahu is the day Eglon died. Ba'es Ahi means that time period because the war actually took more than one day. Well, Lefisha Gavanis Apazik Shemov Nichnu Me Oso Ayom Ad Bizman Rab, Kamoshi Gosa Batishko Rashom Rishana, Al Kain, Ayos Vitukufas. Ha'achna ha'isa lizman rav gam acharei shehiku ba'esahi ki'aseres alaf mish. Meaning the ha'achna lasted much longer. The ba'esahi of when the war took place was a shorter amount of time, whatever it was. It took a week, it took 6 days, whatever it was, until they killed them all out. That was the ba'esahi. The bayom ha'hu, which is representing the ha'achna, which started on bayom ha'hu, that Eglon died, that lasted for many, many years. Al Kain, Kasava Pasuk es Inyan Ha'achna Besof. That's why, because he's bothered, why is it out of order then? The Bayom Ahu should be first, because Eglon died first, and then it should be the Ba'esahi of the war. Here it's backwards. You have the Ba'esahi in Chavtes, and you have the Bayom Ahu in Lamed. Why is it that way? He's saying it's that way because the Ba'esahi was a shorter time period than the Bayom Ahu, because the Bayom Ahu lasted many, many years. Even after they finished killing the people, but the Achna still lasted for many years later. That's the order. Very nice pshat. Someone want to say something? Okay.
Yeah. To me, it seems like it took 75 days for that war to take place. Because
how long?
75 days.
Okay. Yad
Yisrael, the gematria is 75.
Okay. Could be. There's a very strange Malbum. The Malbum says Bayom Ahu. Lo hoise teshua kol yamav, rak Bayom Ahu levad.
One day.
Rak haichu mu'etes shelo giyu od avodim. And it wasn't a full teshua, it was only that they weren't avodim. That's what the Malbim says. The Divrei Tova has a problem with it. Vayein Malbim, he brings the Malbim. Lo'aysa teshua kol yom avrak v'yam ahu levat. K'mo shomer devora b'shirasa b'yamei shamgar chad lo'archos v'ein o muvan. Harei shamgar ha'i b'sof yimei ayu. So he doesn't understand this Malbim. Also, you should ask stronger. Vatishkod Arach, one of Shana. It's sad. It's Vatishkod Arach, one of Shana. So what does he mean, just Bayom Ahu, that it only lasted one day? It's very hard Malbim.
That's possible. Vatishkod Arach, one of Shana.
Yeah.
I think what's more problematic is that, according to the Malbim, Yisrael is not tachat yad Moab, but how do you flip it that Moab is tachat yad Yisrael just by not being avadim? If you're avadim, you're tachat yad Moab.
Right.
If you're no longer avadim, okay, you have your emancipation.
But saying more than that, you're right.
It doesn't mean
much
that
more
Moab
than
is now tachat yad Yisrael.
Good question.
I think that's a problem.
Very hard to understand this model. Very good.
When we had this war in Iraq, shock and awe. That was the thing. The Six-Day War, the Arabs took their shoes off and they ran. That's a temporary phenomenon. This is an initial shock.
Okay.
And the shock subsides. So if you want to say, B'yom Mahu, there was Tachas Yadam, basically, in the Tekufa, when the shock was still, until the shock deteriorated, then they had Tachas Yadam.
And then you're saying, and after that, it was...
So the Malbim could be going with Svara, that you don't have... The same level of fear and intimidation for 80 years.
Well, two instances you gave, though, shock and awe lasted, both in the Six-Day War and in Desert Storm.
Yeah, but they didn't take their shoes off and run. These things tend to decline. You know, especially 80 years is two or three generations.
Didn't last that long.
In those days.
Didn't last that long.
So it couldn't be in a constant state of shock.
No, but they didn't work.
So basically, there was an initial, we surrender, we're shaking now. But they don't shake for 80 years.
You're saying that level of achna didn't last as long.
Look what happened with Rav Gard in the story of Hebron.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to capture Hebron. The army calls him up, says, Rav Gard, you should be here for this, to go into Machpelah. So he and his driver, each with a pistol, drive to Hebron, can't find the army anywhere. They are surrounded by Arabs, just the two of them, he and his driver, two pistols. Arabs all came out, and so they surrendered to the two of them.
That's great. So that's the next one.
My wife told me so.
Then he gave it back.
It's called giving it away. Giving it back.
Okay. The Ralbag periodically says lessons that we learned from the Navi. Periodically the Ralbag does this. The yeshiva where I work on Ashkiach told me, if you're teaching Navi, make sure you do the Ralbag. Right, because it's a lot of Musar that we learned from the Ralbach. So I'm not going to go through all of it now. One thing he says is, he's really going from the beginning of the Sefer until now, saying the different lessons that we learned. You can look at it yourself, almost every Navi has a Ralbach. He starts off saying, which is Pashit, the most simple Pashit lesson of Sefer Shoftim, which keeps repeating itself over and over and over again, is that if we're good boys, so Hashem treats us well, and there's hashgacha. And if not, then we're not treated well, and then the enemy takes over, and we're in trouble. And we see that constantly, story after story. Kaisel sins, the enemy comes, overpowers us, etc. Until the Shofi comes and brings Kaisel to tshuva, or at least some level of tshuva, and then we unfortunately sin again. What he brings out from here is, he says, the sixth lesson, which is Sheroi Lasos Milchama Bitachbulos, that when you wage war, you should use tachbulos. How would we translate that into English? Tachbulos. Tachbulot.
Tricks.
Tricks. Be sneaky if you need to. What?
Guerrilla warfare.
Guerrilla could be one thing. Where would we see that? Tachbulos. Where would we see that lesson that when you go to war,
with Shimon and Levi? Shimon and Levi.
Okay. Yeah, that's true too. But just what we're learning, right?
Ehud himself.
How did they win this war? Ehud pulled off this whole trick. He says, and I don't see this as clearly as he does, but he says, especially if it's Mina Kenegi Mina. He says, especially if they're doing Tachbulos to you, so you're going to do Tachbulos back to them. But Koshin Eshia Chayim Zekashia Ovo Chazak Mimenu Kamosha Avram That he went at night, Avram went at night, so they wouldn't know he went undercover, because they, obviously they're much more than he is. He's alone, or maybe he has Eliezer, or maybe he has whatever it was, 318 people, but a very small army against four mighty kings. So he has to use, so basically do what's at your disposal. If you need to use Tachbulos, you use Tachbulos when you're going to war.
Yaakov with Lavan, with the sheep, he tricked him with the sheep.
Right?
What's the Havim?
That's not a war necessarily. Yeah. What's the Havim? It's not to. It's not Menschlich.
Midrash HaKetirchak.
So that's not honest. Yeah, rules of warfare. There's an amazing book. There's an amazing book, by the way.
You made a reservation.
It's called David versus Goliath. David versus Goliath, written by Malcolm Gladwell. And it's the study of the underdog. That's what the book is about. The study of the underdog. And he shows how in so many areas, and one of them is warfare, sports, business, a lot of areas, so the underdog has a tremendous advantage. And what's the advantage of the underdog is that the underdog can't play by the rules, because if he played by the rules, he's not going to win. So therefore, the underdog has to find another way to do things. There's Olpshad and Davidama, which is questionable. But I'll just tell you what he says. I don't know if this child will have to wait till we get there. But he says, you know, that the way that was normal in those times, that you would have, I guess you call it a duel, right? Mm-hmm. Where you go, it's just two people, they're fighting against each other, right? And they would fight with armor and swords, and you know that would, and there was rules to the fight. There was rules, you know. You had the rules of how you had to fight. Sure. And he said, "David Melech against Goliath, there's no chance." He knew he had no chance. If he fought the regular way, he would have no chance. So what did he do? He took a slingshot and
broke the rules.
Shot him between the eyes. He went around it. He went a different way. That's how he opens up the book, and that's what he says. But the Rabag is saying, you learn that over here, that you got to use, if you got to use Tachbulos, you use it, right? If they are stronger than you, right, don't be stupid, be smart, and figure out a way to go around it. And
we condemn our enemies for doing that against us.
Do we?
Yes, so, we do.
Using ambulances to carry weapons, putting people on the roof, it's all brilliant. It really is, because they take advantage of
I hear you.
Have you heard Jay Haley?
I'm sorry?
Jay Haley. He's one of the, you know, gods of the psychological world.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So he wrote an essay called The Power, or maybe it's a book, I think I have it somewhere. The Power Tactics of Yashka.
Okay.
And he claims that this whole underdog strategy, he says that the whole... that's what Yashka did,
uh-huh.
And the left, you know, not the left, but nowadays that's what people do, is they characterize themselves as underdogs.
It's victimology.
Yeah.
It's
always good to come as an underdog.
Well, characterizing yourself as an underdog is different than playing by different rules.
Right.
Also, just, Shimon, it could be that there are some times when it's just downright wrong to use certain tactics, right? To be tricky is one thing, but to use things which are totally immoral is another thing. Ehud tricked Eglon over here. Did he do something immoral?
He didn't protect himself as civilians.
Right.
You know what?
That's the
end
of
it.
Civilians are attacked in every war. Even the good wars, like World War II. They carpet bombed civilian cities left and right. They in Japan, in the Pacific, in Europe. You know, it depends whose ox is being pulled.
But it's true. They're using the tactics they need to use.
They look at it as very asymmetrical warfare. They're the
underdog
against the big, big Israel, big power.
They're the
Israel,
underdog.
And they're using any type of shtick they
can. It's true.
So I say the Havamin is, if you understand the Havamin, it makes it into a bigger Kiddush.
No, what?
If you're saying the Havamin is basically that's warranted by war. But in the Matzah of war, you know, there's a lot of Haterim, you know, there's a lot of. It's a different Matzah, okay? But normally, you're not allowed to use underhand tactics.
Yeah.
In a conflict.
Okay, good. You're making a deal in the Rabbah. He's talking about during times of war. During times of war, you can use that word. But it is a war. They are a war.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, it could be it's true. What they're doing in war, they're doing what they need to do. That's what you do in war. That is what you do in war.
You don't declare war.
Part of the war, though, here is, you know, it's a war of image as well. You know, the war that's being fought is a war of image. So, you know, they're fighting against us. We have to fight against them as well in that war, right? And if they're doing, you know, saying things about us, we're going to have to say things about them because that's part of the war.
Propaganda war.
Yeah. It's certainly a propaganda war as well. Yeah.
Shimon Levy. The Lashon is that haroma, it's trickery. Once Rashi translates it, it's chok.
Right? Very good. Okay, let's just...
And also, when Yaakov tricked Yitzchak into giving him the bracha, Esav called him, you know, that's why Yavveni tricked me.
Full of tricks.
Okay, in the last few minutes, I'm just going to read you the Ralbag. It'll take a couple of minutes, and it's a good review of the whole sugya, and there might be one or two chidushim here as well in the Rabbah, things we didn't see before. So he says, "Nizdaminayin chay eyot itor yad yamino, kizeh mimashi yazor lo lahasik mivukasho barigas eglom kodim sheyagir." This is not a coincidence that Ehud did not have use of his right hand. This is what helped him and gave him the ability to kill Eglon the way he did. And he made the sword, two-edged sword. So it seems he's learning the two sides, not front-back, but both sides were sharp. Both sides were sharp. That's how I think the Ralbag is learning, in order that it can easily go into the stomach of Eglon. He also didn't make the knife very long. So no one should know that he's carrying a knife. So no one should see, he's sticking it under his clothing. And he sends this present before. Why? Why did he send the present before? If he just comes right away, Ehud, and says, I have something private to tell you. Here's the enemy king coming and saying, I have something private to tell you. So Eglon's no idiot, right? Oh, you're sending me a present, you have something private to tell me, you want to speak to me privately. He's obviously going to think something must be going on over here. And he wouldn't be so stupid if Eglon did it that way, that he would stay alone in the house with Eglon. Well, it's a Yatsamisha. Therefore, he brings a present, he leaves. He forgot something he had to tell him. But he was showing him that it's not the original reason why I came. The thing I forgot to tell you wasn't the main reason why I came. It doesn't make sense that you're coming for this and you forgot this. That's obviously ridiculous. But something that's secondary, that you could forget, that happened. Therefore, Eglon wasn't on guard. He wasn't as on guard. So that's one reason why he did it this way. As we saw, ki bachar eyot shetia asakana lo levado, lo lechaveir of nosei hamincha yachad. He wanted himself only, he should be in danger. Ki zeh mimasha roi livro bo, ki huto alas zayim. And that's the seventh thing that we can learn. V'asiba shlishis ki kvar hayyoser kame imalei leyur. Also we learned this, that it's much easier for him to escape. Kashu lo hayu l'shtadel ki im batzolos atzmo. V'im hayu imo chaveiro v'yo olav masa eshtadlos batzolosom batzoloso. Then he would have to save himself and he would have to save them as well, which would be much more difficult. V'ulayu z'asiba al shalo yimlat ishmehem. He says another reason going on over here is that they should be stationed where they need to be stationed already. He'll set them up already to be where they need to be. And Eyo did his job of making sure he's alone in the palace with the king, and because he was so big, the king, he was able, as Eglon was getting up, he was able to easily pull out the knife. He sticks it in his stomach as he's still getting up. Because this is the whole process of Eglon getting up. Because had he realized what was going on, obviously he would have screamed. But and his servants would come. And in order that Eyud should know that he dies before he leaves, if he stuck also the handle of the sword into his stomach, the different pshatim, he doesn't say exactly what it means, that the yatsa perish, either his guts or he went to the bathroom, whatever it was, because if Eglon didn't die, so it would be much more difficult, and he might not have a full getaway. Okay, so he's learning that Eyo locked it on the outside, and they would think that Eglon locked it on the inside. And that they thought that Eglon locked it because of Shnius, Kadeshlo Yechanes Adam Shom, Bodo Nifne Becheder Hamakera, that no one should come in while he's going to the bathroom. Then Kaf Lekaf Nishlam Haimale Layod, and during all this time, he was able to escape. Uba Odom Mis Bahalim Al Misas Malcolm, and while they still had this confusion about the death of their king, Hishtado Shesabu Yisol Lemoav. Asher Beretz Yisrael Adarach Shel Yivrachu is like Yitzhak, that they went right away quickly to close off the border. Ulezel Lachdu Techila, so first they went and captured Mavres Hayarden, Lemoav Ofen Shelo Nimnat Ish Me'an Mo'avim Asher Beretz Yisrael Shelo Nera. No one will be able to get away. Ve'imayu Ayosur Takifim Shebenei Moav, and these were the stronger ones of Moav, Lesiba Shezachanu, Ulezel Ofen Rafu Yidei Hanisharim, Velo nilchamu im Yisrael, and that way they weakened them, and they didn't even fight. He's saying they didn't even fight. That's how the Rabbah was, and there wasn't even a fight. Meaning they killed them, they killed the Giborim, but it wasn't a fight. They really did not put up a fight. By the way, I don't know if maybe Eliezer will do something with this. One more interesting thing, the Marami Pano says that Eyud was Nisgalgel in Yochanan ben Matisyahu. He came back as Yochanan ben Matisyahu, and he killed Niknor. And it's Remez in the Pasuk, Ben Hayimini. Eyud was Ben Hayimini. Hayimini is who? Yochanan Me'akohanim Yaharog Niknor Yahu. Hayimini. Okay, so that's Eyud comes back.
Eyud comes back
to save us. Okay.
Monday. One point. We talked about how the fear goes away, but there's two proofs that it can last a while. One, Rahav said to Caleb, 40 years. 40 years. And they said, but they're still shaking 40 years later. And in the Purim story, even Achashverosh, 7 years later, he was still shaking, counting the days. Didn't go away so fast.
Beis HaMikdash to be built.